This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. I haven't recorded an episode in 2 or 3 weeks now, and that's because I really haven't had anything that I needed to say, and the requests that I have gotten from people by email were about topics that I've already addressed in other episodes. That's why I haven't recorded anything. And then just recently, in 2 days, I got 2 different requests about subjects that I haven't addressed adequately. Now, I have touched upon them briefly in passing and talking about other things, but I haven't dedicated a whole episode to them, so that's what I'm going to do. And the first one I'm going to do today, and it's on the Holy Spirit, and how this important Christian belief and experience fits into non-dual Christianity. The Holy Spirit is important not only for the Christian understanding of God, but also Christian living. The fruit of the Spirit are the signs of the presence of God in a person's life. In Pentecostal and charismatic Christianity, the Holy Spirit takes center stage in what are called the gifts of the Spirit. What is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be a powerful experience of the presence and power of God in a person's life. How does this fit into non-duality? Non-duality does not negate these powerful spiritual experiences, just like it does not negate the power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and likewise it does not negate the power and experience of the Holy Spirit. Non-duality fulfills and completes the promise of union with God that is tasted in a personal relationship with Christ and is experienced in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Whether that is through spiritual gifts or spiritual fruit or the everyday experience of walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit, the same Spirit manifested in spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit is the Spirit of non-duality. The Spirit of oneness that is known in non-dual awareness. All manifestations of the Spirit are fulfilled and completed in the awareness of oneness with God. In this regard, the Trinity is a perfect symbol for unitive awareness. In traditional Christian theology, God is said to be one God in 3 persons. Who are identified as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And historic Christianity spent a lot of time, a couple of centuries, in trying to articulate exactly how the 3 persons of the Trinity are related to each other and to us. But the church got so wrapped up in theological hair splitting that it missed the main point. And the point is that 3 is 1. 3 persons are 1 God, and therefore God goes beyond the idea of persons. The Trinity is a human attempt to understand the divine and metaphors that are meaningful to human beings. Because we tend to see ourselves as persons, then we tend to see God as a person. But we also sense that God is more than a person. And so Christianity came up with the idea that God is 3 persons. And yet at the same time, 1 God. In another episode, I refer to this as a Christian koan that has the function of a Zen koan. pushing us beyond the rational mind to the heart of God and the heart of reality. The truth is, there's no such thing as a person. It is a fabrication of the human brain. We think we are persons, and so we create a personal God in our own image, what we think of as our own image. The philosopher Xenophanes famously said that if horses could draw, they would draw their gods as horses. The same, he said, goes for lions and oxen. We see ourselves as human persons, so we picture God that way. But we are not persons, and God is not a person, much less three persons. That's just a mental image that we impose upon the imageless God, and to believe that our human-made image is actually God is to worship an image. And that's idolatry. And yet, on a psychological level, we relate to God as personal and relate to the three divine persons of the Trinity in a personal manner. And that's fine on the experiential level, as long as we don't start taking our own metaphors literally. Having said that, how does the Holy Spirit fit into the gospel of Christian non-duality? Of the three persons of the Trinity, the Spirit is the closest, I think, to non-duality. Spirit tends to transcend the idea of person. Many Christians do not even think of the Spirit as a person. Christians often use impersonal pronouns to refer to the Spirit, calling Spirit it rather than he or she. So we sense that the Spirit transcends personal images. And for that reason, the Holy Spirit is the most natural of the three images for non-dual Christians to have for God. I see the Holy Spirit as a presence of Jesus with us now, beyond the lifetime of the physical body of Jesus. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And he meant spiritually, not physically. I think that he was referring to the Holy Spirit, often simply called the Spirit. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus. In talking about his physical departure and subsequent coming of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, or counselor, or comforter, depending on your translation, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That word another counselor, used here, means another of the same kind, just like Jesus. Jesus elsewhere calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of the Father. Spirit is a more inclusive and unifying term to refer to the divine, and for that reason it is a perfect word for non-duality, because it transcends religious differences. I see the coming of the Holy Spirit, described in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, to be a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. In a sense, you could say that Pentecost was the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not physically, of course, but spiritually. And yet, in a sense, physically, because it's physical within the church, within humans. The Spirit that was in Jesus is the same Spirit that hovered over the watery chaos in the early verses of the book of Genesis and the creation story. This is the Spirit that inspired the Hebrew prophets of the Old Testament. This is the Spirit who inspires the sages and wisdom teachers and the spiritual teachers and founders of various religions throughout history. The Spirit is what unifies all religions in the one perennial wisdom that is known as non-duality. The spirit of oneness is reflected in the words of the letter to the Ephesians, which is traditionally attributed to the Apostle Paul. It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. We are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is understood in traditional Christianity to be the divine person who indwells us." It says we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" The Spirit is normally distinguished from the Father, who is understood to be the transcendent God. The Son is traditionally understood as a person of God incarnated in Jesus. But it does not take too much exploration and thinking and examination of Scripture to see these categories quickly break down and they overlap. In reality, all these distinctions between the three persons of the Trinity dissolve in direct spiritual experience of the divine. All is one, and we are one with the Father and Jesus and the Spirit. That's what Jesus was teaching during his prayer on the night before his death, which I think is the most important prayer in the Bible, more important than the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prays for his disciples, and then he prays for future generations of his followers. And he says this, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." That prayer is a definition of Christian non-duality. Christian non-duality is being one with the divine reality that we call God. This oneness is a spirit of unity, the spirit of oneness. This Holy Spirit is the spirit of non-duality, the non-dual spirit. Use whatever term you want. This one reality is the Holy Spirit. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.